Welcome to the second episode, second podcast of A Cold World, Cold World Podcast. I had so much fun doing this last week, man. I didn't know people was actually going to listen to it. That was crazy. Folks were hitting me up, telling me they listened to it. So that's really cool, man. Aside from that, though, it's been a really, a sucky week. You know what? I'm going to try to do it this podcast, my favorite podcast. You kind of get into the heads of the people that's giving it a little bit more. Like, those are my favorite ones. So I'm going to try to live that out a little bit. I might do that. I'm not going to tell you all my business, but I might let you inside my head, because I think the way in which people think about things is just, that's just something that's, it's just intriguing to folks. Like, it's not what we do, it's like why we do the things that we do. So anyway, back to the week. I just been in a funk since I got hurt. I got hurt months ago. I got hurt at the top of August, and I know y'all heard me complain about this leg, this knee. But the crazy thing is, like, when other things would go wrong, like, what I would do is, like, I go play basketball. I'm not that great anymore. Like, I was never that great, but I'm not all that good anymore, but I can still get out there and play. But just being able to get that aggression out and go ball and see folks you haven't seen in a little bit and compete, you know, when things would bother me, I would probably hit my brother Will up for a little bit, holler at him, get his perspective on things. Sometimes my other homie, like a big brother, Mylon Drake, but like mostly it was like I was doing that on the way or coming back from playing basketball. Basketball is like that thing. So why was it a sucky week? I'm not gonna just complain this entire time. But if my energy is low, you gotta know why. Just this knee, man. I went into physical therapy and I thought we was doing like the routine stuff that we were doing. Apparently the wounds from my surgery are starting to heal. So my therapist for the week was this young lady that they called Thumbs. Now, have no idea why they called her Thumbs. I would soon find out. But okay, it's like you about to kick it with Thumbs. Okay, cool. So we about to, you know, straighten the leg, bend the leg. I know that's gonna hurt a little bit, but good. I'm used to that. So what she did is she said that we had to work out scar tissue. I don't know if anybody's had to ever work out scar tissue. I had not. Did not know what to expect. And then I found out why they called her Thumbs. She dug her thumb into my very swollen and hurt knee. And she dug around and dug in there. And it was oh so painful. It was oh so painful. Not just a little bit, but a lot of it. But I still feel that. That was from a few days ago. And then I got a ton of work to do for work. Now, I love what I do in my job. It's just, you know, that's just everybody. That's most of the Americans out here that have that 9-to-5. They got a bunch of work to do. I'm blessed. I'm more blessed than most, man. Like, I got to spend time on Saturday with a bunch of just teachers that's just down for kids, man. And that was really dope. That was really cool to just spend days, a day with people that's dedicated their life to young people. That was really cool. It's still a lot of work, though. It's a lot of work that I'm expecting to do this week. So I was looking forward to this podcast because I can't look forward to sports. As a Chicago Bear and Oakland Raider fan, it's just, oh, these teams are so bad. They're bad for different reasons. Like, the Raiders, like, they're like a JV team on a college campus. They just can't get out of their own way. All right? Got you. That's what's up. But my Bears, listen, the Bears, that offense should be putting up 30 points a game. You got Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. Like, these two cats are just beasts, yo. Matt Forte is right behind DeMarco Murray, like, on fantasy just for his production. That dude is a monster. You got Martellus Bennett, who is just, he can just jump out off the field, and like, he just got great hands. And you got Jay Cutler, man, who has all this potential. All of this potential. I like Jay Cutler, man. I have cheered and rooted and stood behind Jay Cutler since he came here from Denver. I just like his attitude. I just like him. I know he got like some mental things that's happening. And I just always identify with that dude. And I can't imagine being under that pressure, man. But I just feel like at some point, it's like, if we struggling, you know what, Alshon, just run that way. I'm just going to throw the ball up. Let's just see what happens. Can we just see what happens? Let's just see. But Jay Cutler has a rifle of an arm, but an ego to go with it. But I got a big ego too, so I can't really say too much about him. So I can't really turn to sports because that's just depressing. And then I'm not a Giants fan at all. So you got that. I live in the Bay Area. You know what's funny? I'm not a San Francisco anything fan. Like, I have my reasons. I did get my master's degree from San Francisco State. I like that place. That place is great. But I actually used to be a Giants fan. I was. And I just felt the way in which they handled Barry Bonds, I just didn't like it. I don't know if it's because I was a black dude and I felt like if he was white, it would have happened differently. I don't know if because they allowed Mark McGwire to get back into baseball and they totally ostracized Barry Bonds. I don't know if it's because the only reason we have AT&T Park is because of just the attention and just the greatness that Barry Bonds like had. I just didn't like the way they handled him. I did appreciate that they brought him out to some of the games, and he got to be a part of some of these World Series, but I don't know. But I'm a hater, but I'm not that much of a hater. I mean, it looks like they're going to take it. I'm not sure. People can have their day. I'll get trolled for saying these things, but I don't care. I'm just being honest with you. So sports world is not where it's happening for me. My fantasy team, however, I do have a fantasy team that is on the road to getting to being 8-0. I'm on four fantasy leagues. Three of them, I'm doing okay. I'm like either one through three in like three of those. And the last one, I'm actually not doing too bad. I'm over 500. I like fantasy football. I like being able to like compete. It's fun. It's fun for me. So one of the things that I was interested in like talking about today was the black shows. It's a lot of new black shows on TV, particularly Blackish. When Blackish came out, there's just a lot of conversation around this show. There's a lot around how people feel about it, and people are split. I posted it in my Facebook page, and I've had conversations with some friends the other night till like 2 a.m, and I done met some passionate folks on both sides of this argument, and it just makes me think about where I am with the show. So, most of y'all know the show, but for those who don't, the show is about Anthony Anderson and Tracee Ellis Ross. They live in the suburbs. They're really successful people. Anthony Anderson's character is he works in marketing. And Tracee Ellis Ross is a doctor. They have a really nice house and four really beautiful kids. Their kids they have some adorable kids. Like, their twins are adorable. And basically, you have this dude. He was from the hood. He wasn't like a hood dude, but he was a dude from the hood. I was a dude from the hood. I was never a hood guy. I was never that guy. I was never the muscle. It's just not who I am. And he married, his wife is kind of a hippie. Her name is Rainbow or something like that. And he married her and they had these kids. And like, so it's around him adjusting to being middle class with a middle class family, growing up in kind of a white neighborhood and trying to preserve the blackness in his children. That's where it started off. And so the folks that like it have said things like, man, I can really relate to that. I'm like the first generation of people being successful in my family. Like, I have friends who grew up with doctors as parents and folks like that, and just kind of what those struggles are. I didn't really grow up in a middle class situation like that. So it's a lot of stuff that I can't really relate to. I feel like I can relate more to the father. Like, if I had children, I feel like I would go through some of those things, because you want to create like a better life for your kids, right? So that means that your neighborhood may be a little different than where you grew up. I mean, if you live in Oakland, this is going to be different anyway, because this whole entire neighborhood has changed. So you run into things like his son didn't really have black friends, or they didn't really, his children didn't really see black issues the way in which he saw those issues. Or, for instance, his children didn't understand the significance of President Obama. And the little boy said, well, that's the only president I've ever seen. It's like, oh, I guess that's true. But I mean, you know, you still kind of would feel like that has some more gravitas. So it's tackling these issues that there's a group of folks in this country that can really, really relate to. And I think my future self can potentially relate to that if I end up ever getting married or having kids. Not sure what's going to happen with that. That's a whole different podcast, man. And now for the folks that are not feeling it, and I can see a lot of these arguments too, it's like, yo, you took on the title Blackish. That means like you're making this statement around what it means to be black. And you're just not going deep enough. So there's one episode where, and my friend said this, and I wanted to make sure I gave him the credit. This wasn't my thought, this was his, but it's like, oh, Anthony Anderson got upset with his son because he saw another black kid passing him at school, and there's not that many black kids in the school, and he didn't nod. He didn't do the nod, like the hey, what's up nod. And so throughout the episode, you hear this over and over, but you never hear an articulation of why that nod is important. It wasn't really spelled out, I guess, to my friend's liking. I think in the end, it kind of got spelled out a little bit, but, you know, just around always trying to seek out your community and seeing where they are and knowing what it feels like to be and, like, kind of outlier in a situation. So a lot of arguments against the show is that it just doesn't go deep enough. And then when it talks about these black issues, it's just so surface level. So, like, at the end of that episode, well, at the end of, I don't know, yeah, I think it was that same episode, you know, they got mad at the son because he didn't have a certain reaction when a woman walked by. So his dad and his grandfather at the end of the show, that episode, they're like sitting on a bench and they're like teaching him how to react to like attractive women that's jogging by. And I think that could just be taken in a whole bunch of different ways. One, I think it does kind of, without the context, I mean, it buys into that we're oversexed, like just as a race. It didn't, you know, I think they were trying to have it come off as like this bonding moment or whatnot. But I just don't know how well that landed when the audience of the folks that watch Blackish on the station that it's on is going to be a really mixed group of people. So that just led me to other questions, though. I mean, I don't hate it. I actually like Anthony Anderson a lot. And, you know, brother, do your thing, man. But I think the bigger question for me is that, you know what, like, as a black person, when you do stuff that is semi-successful, you end up being responsible for an entire race. This is like, was the Jackass people, the people on MTV that made Jackass, were they responsible for the entire, like, white race? Or even, like, this young kind of angst-filled grunge youth that they targeted? Or did they just get to be funny and do stupid stuff? So, like, Dax from that show, from Jackass, is now on Parenthood, which is, couldn't get more, you know, like, quintessential family show. I like the Parenthood. I like his character. Dax Shepard is a really cool dude. But he was able to, like, recover from that. When he did Jackass, like, they did some really, really dumb stuff. But I don't know if they didn't set their race back. Now, there was a few years ago on this network, call it the WB, now the CW or whatever. There was a show called Homeboys in Outer Space, which was one of the highest levels of coonery one had ever seen. It's just interesting, man. It's just a hard place, I think, to be. And then there are these other two shows. Starz is kind of tapping into its black market. They released two shows. So 50 Cent has a show called Power. And LeBron James has a show called Survivor's Remorse. And actually, I actually enjoy both of those shows very much. I think Power is one of the highest rated black shows since something. It was some crazy stat that I saw. But I think it's a really good show as far as the writing is concerned. And it's just like a lot of highbrow actors in there, like some people that have some chops. And I think it's something that kind of captures my attention. I do think it feeds into like a successful black man has to have his foot on both sides of the law. Well, we're always trying to break away from something. But on some levels, man, I can relate to that. There are things that I try to break away from. I think, man, like I said, I guess I'll put people in inside of my head. Like, I grew up all over this country. I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, Paducah, Kentucky, and Oakland, California, and Stockton, California. And I mean, they're just things from my past, man. I just wish weren't there. I mean, I think they made me who I am, and I don't necessarily know if I regret them. I can't regret them. I didn't have any control over them. But they just made me who I am. And those things have a lot of residual effects. Like, just in the way in which I interact, whether it's with women, whether it's with friends, whether it's with, like, I moved around a lot, so I don't have a whole bunch of friends. I can be friendly, but you just genuinely are suspicious of folks. There's a genuine suspicion that I have just with people when I come from a family where, I mean, people that were supposed to take care of you, man, would, like, take advantage of certain things. So when I went to college, and I'm one of the only people to go to college in my family and do things a different way, you know, everybody cared at that point. Like, and I heard from everybody when things were wrong, like everybody. So you get that little check, you get that little financial aid check. And of course, I didn't have any money management skills. Like, my parents, that wasn't something that they passed down to me. But it's like, yo, my cousin would like, yo, baby need this, like, I don't have Pampers, or, you know, just loaning money to folks, or just not understanding, like, the consequences of certain things. Like, in my family, I just knew a lot more than I should have known. Like, I can remember being a kid, and, like, my mom was, like, coming to me about, like, major household problems. Like, yo, I'm 12. Like, it's nothing I can do about that. And I think what that had me do is, I think that made me, I've just always distanced myself from folks. I mean, not like in a bad way. I just think, I just became really self-sufficient and self-reliant. And so I think that's where the friendship with my homie Will comes into play. It's like, we grew up kind of similar with some nuanced differences. And I think we help keep things in perspective. But in the worst times of my life, I went through that stuff like alone. And so it's hard when you go through really tough things alone. And then when it gets sunny again, and then people, and then it's popular to be around you. Yo, I was like an ugly kid, yo. Like, I had like these big old glasses on. It was crazy. It was like crazy. I can remember when I started to get like attention from women in college, and it just bugged me out, because I was always like the runt, yo. Like, I was smaller than everybody else. I was skinny, had these glasses on. When I moved to California, I had this accent, and then I was just a weird kid. And it's just dealing with like popularity now, or it's just really interesting. So that was just a rant that just totally went on. But I think it feeds into these shows that I'm talking about around Blackish and like Power, and now Survivor's Remorse. So I can understand certain things with Power. I can understand Like, you're trying to do things. I have a great job, but I have people in my family that still do a lot of illegal things, a lot of friends that do a lot of illegal things, and I can. It's really easy to fall back on one side of those things. I don't fit in any social group in my life comfortably. I don't fit in, like, I'm not a hood dude. I just have never been a hood dude. That just is not who I was. And then I'm not, and I'm not this intellectual with, you know, like the six figure club. Like, I don't, like, there are just certain experiences that I had. Like, I'm just not necessarily totally comfortable in any of those spots. I'm comfortable alone. That's where I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable alone or writing or, like, or being really focused on some type of self-driven mission that I've built for myself in the moment. So the main character of Power, who has his nightclub and is trying to get out the life, I understand his, like, he is just extremely paranoid of all the people around him. He is, it's a, he has all these things, but he's just a really lonely person in the sense of he doesn't really have anybody to trust. And then it goes into, like, this drama about his wife and this woman he knew from his past. I mean, it's intriguing stuff. And that's me just trying to get into, like, the head of that character. And then you go to a show, LeBron James' show, Survivor's Remorse, where it's about this kid that plays basketball. He had a decent little contract in Memphis. And then he signed, like, a whopper of a contract in Atlanta. His life changes. He moves his mom out. And he has... He only keeps the closest people around him. So he has his cousin as, like, his manager. His sister is there. He put her on his staff. His uncle is around. And his cousin's wife. And you just kind of see this kid who is from where he's from. And then he went from being broke to having money really fast. And the show is very Entourage-esque. I love Entourage. I loved it. It's like the black version of Entourage. And so his cousin is working just really hard to make sure that he doesn't make stupid mistakes. Like, he's not spending all his money on people back at home. He's not getting extorted, which is what people try to do to him back at home. There's an episode where when he moves his mother out, she gives away all their old stuff. And, like, in it is a notebook that has some embarrassing things that he had when he was younger. Like, when he was, like, 13 or 14, he had this notebook that had his workout schedule. And then, like, he would write these little notes about these girls he liked and what he wanted to do. And he would kind of, you know, jot down his conquest. And then that gets out. And he has to deal with the fallout from that. Or, like, a video that he made, like, a rap song when he's, like, 12. That's pretty racist to Chinese people. That's being threatened to get out, and he gets, like, extorted for all this money. It's like a part of you gets afraid to be, like, that type of successful, man, because it's, oh, man, the things in my past, yo, like, it's just a lot of stuff that I think humans have. Just people in general, regardless of color, where you come from, it's just a different generation where nothing can, like, really stay buried or hidden, and it's just... Yeah, like, your mistakes, man, are just going to be put on blast. So I think that show is dope. I think that the acting, I think it's getting there. I think the writing is getting a little bit better. But these are, like, some of the shows that's representing black folks in different aspects of areas of life. And I mean, all of these people are actually doing pretty well. There isn't, like, a new show that's kind of Good Times-esque. I think that would be interesting to see. I just remember Good Times and being able to relate to some of those things. You know, like I said, I was lucky and able to grow up with, like, my pops around. I don't mean that we got along or that I got along with him. It just was really interesting. And so just in the dynamic of my household, it's funny because my boy Will is, like, one of the closest people to me, and he's been my friend since I was, you know, 10, 9, 10, 11 years old. And, you know, he just used to, like, be like, man, you're, like, really lucky to have, like, X, Y, and Z. And hell, Will utilized my pops more than I did. I remember when Will was making a decision of what he's going to do with his life, whether it was trying to go into college or whatnot. And and going to the service. My pops went to the service. Like, he didn't talk to me about it. He went and talked to my dad. Like, that's the type of bond they got. And I've never had that kind of conversation with my father ever. Just with how I grew up, and I don't know. It's just a different dynamic. I just never, like, when things go wrong, I don't necessarily call my parents. I just look at my parents differently. I love them. I just don't. It's just a different context. Yeah, I told you, you're getting your money's worth, right? You're like getting all up into my head. It's like, oh, if I know him, like, that kind of makes sense. I could see this thing. So I am going to give all those shows just more time. And I'm going to keep watching them. I like seeing black people do well. So we'll see. I think that Blackish is making a turn where it's trying not to just talk about these black issues, but like these young parent issues or just general family issues. I think they're trying to assess a bigger, like, to access a bigger crowd. So we'll see. I mean, I watched the show. My feelings about it, there are certain things that I like about it at times. There's some things that I just really wish that they would do differently. But hey, you know what I'm doing? I'm sitting in my small apartment doing a podcast. Like, I don't, that's not the life that I created for myself to really be able to critique that show. So my point is, they're doing better than me. So Mr. Anderson, you got this far in life without my opinion before. I'm sure you do just fine. So, oh man, I really love doing this podcast, yo. I get to talk about whatever I want. Like, there's nobody that's like checking up on it and saying, hey, you got to take that out. There's nobody that's saying you gotta like run this through such and such. Like, this is a good feeling. I just really enjoy it. I love to hear some topics that y'all like discuss too. But so one of the things that I like to talk about, like, it's just like, I'm a control freak. I think that's what all this stuff is coming down to. I think my week, my month, like, I've just been in a slump. Not just the pain of like my knee or whatever. I just have no control. I just have no control of what's happening with my body. I have, you know, I can't go do the things that I would normally do. And I think that's what it comes down to, man. I'm a for real control freak. I asked this question to some students a while ago. And it was like, yo, if you could do anything in the world, like, what would you do? And I'm asking y'all, like, just really think about that. Like, what would you be doing, like, if there was no restrictions on you? Like, what would that look like? And I can get lost in this thought, yo. I can get really lost. And if I could paint my life exactly how I want it to, like, and it happened instantly, and I had to put in all the work that would happen, that would need to happen in order for those things to take place, I would just travel to like amazing places to work. And what that work would be is like speaking and doing these type of podcasts and maybe writing and publishing. I like doing those things. I actually get to do those things, but that would be like what I did. Like, I mean, I spent time in Miami. It's a great place, but I would go to places like Brazil and be on that beach in Brazil. Just, I ain't touching the water because ironically enough, I fit that stereotype. I do not swim. It's just not happening. But yeah, I just sit out there and just chill with like the latest technology. And I'd have like my headphones on and I would be good. That's what I would do, man. I'd do that podcast. And twice a year, what I would do is I would visit Paducah, Kentucky. This is where my grandmother lived. I used to live there with her when I was younger. Yo, like, this woman, like, I've never loved another person as much as I've loved this woman. Like, nobody. She was just the sweetest person. She was an angel to me. Now, I'm sure that's different from my mother, who, you know, grandparents and grandkids is just, it's a different dynamic. You don't get to see, like, the crazy, like, I'm gonna beat you down type of person. Like, my grandmother was just extremely sweet. And she's like the best person that I know and that I knew. And she helped raise me until she died. And so what I would do is I would go back to Paducah, Kentucky. And I really liked that. Like, I love, I'm a big, like, Kentucky Wildcats fan. I liked Kentucky. I think people feel like you get instantly depressed when I tell them that I lived in Kentucky. Actually, some of my happiest moments was in that place. Just get to go out and play and just the seasons and being able, like, the horses and, like, at the fair, just things like that. And so I would go there twice a year. I would have a picnic at my grandmother's, like, headstone. I would do that. And so I would lean up against that, have my picnic, and I would just talk just about all the things that I know would make her, like, proud or, like, make her smile. That's what I would do. That's it. That's, if I'm thinking about all the people that I would just, where it really matters to me, if they're proud of me, it's kind of just her. And now that, you know, my closest friends have children, I think a part is, like, with those kids too. Like, both Mylon and Will have children. I think that, like, I think those people being able to be proud of you is just really important. And I think that that's a really, like, when you figure out why you do the things that you do, you know, I want to be able to create a better life when I decide to have children. If I decide to have children, like I said, I don't know. I don't know what's, a part of me really likes being alone. A part of me is like, you're getting older. You need to do what you need to do, bruh. But yeah, man, at the end of the day, yo, like, that's kind of what I want to do. I will travel the world in really nice places. I run my mouth and be compensated for it. And then I will go to Paducah, Kentucky on nice days, lay on that tombstone and talk about it to a ghost. Yep. All those degrees. That's what I want to do. But yeah, man. So with this show, I wanted to, this is the cool thing, like I said, about the podcast. You can just go wherever you want, just ranting and raving and running your mouth. But I wanted to give people something that was like near and dear to me. And I think that when you can understand how somebody's brain works and how it, you know, how they operate, like, I think you can hear them better. But yeah, dude, like, this was really fun. Like, this, since I can't go out and put up some shots, and get that aggression out or, like, do those things. And like, this podcast, man, was, like, really fun. I really, really enjoyed doing this. Like, I enjoy doing this so much. Like, even if two people listen to this podcast, like, that's what I'm just doing it. I'm so damn selfish. I'm going to do it and listen to them myself. I'm a selfish dude. So, yeah. But until next time, wait, no, I ain't ready to finish yet. So I don't have to. You know why? Because I can keep going. I know I said it was going to be between 30 and 60 minutes. I'm making an executive decision because I can. That's, if you was playing a drinking game at home where Charles shows his narcissism or his control freakness, you would have to take a shot right now. But I'm interested in, like, what's going on in people's worlds, man, and just the things that they that they've been experiencing. And how do you feel about those shows? How do you feel about, like, Black-ish, or whether it's Power or Survivor's Remorse? Oh, and I didn't get a chance to go to the movie today. Some stuff came up and I couldn't go. But I will go see the Dear White People movie. I heard mixed reviews about it. I don't know. they put a lot of pressure on themselves with that like title. It seems like it'll be like the Dear White People thing would work for like a sketch, like if it was on like Saturday Night Live. I don't know how well you can do in a movie before people turn on you and like, oh, you're not living out these black values and all that stuff, man. It's hard living up to the expectations of the public, yo. It's like really, really hard. Like I feel bad when like celebrities get into trouble about certain. I know people like not forget them celebrities. They got all this money and they just do stupid stuff, man. But you know what? I do stupid stuff. I do stupid stuff all the time. Like all the time. And you probably do too. Like, if I was making a show and I wanted to, like, highlight these things, I'm sure that at some point they'd be like, nah, bro, that's cooning. And I'm like, nah, man, that's just how I feel. That's just how I operate it. That's just what I think. I don't know. But, you know, I did have, I had, like I said, like, a bad week. But put it in perspective, I mean, it wasn't that bad. Like, it's, you know, your issues are your issues. I just wanted to be able to complain. I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I know that, like, the problems that I have today are problems that I prayed for when I was a kid. I make a nice salary. I get to do stuff that makes a difference. I have people that care about me. Not sure if that's for the right reasons because, you know, I'm paranoid about that stuff. Apparently, you know, we talked about that in Survivor's Guilt and Power. Survivor's Remorse and Power. But I know there's a lot of people that's out there just doing worse than I am. There's a lot of people out there that's doing worse than you are. So I try to keep those things in perspective. But this was great. So if you did listen in, if you got to the end of this, and you rocked with me this long, I thank you. Because you didn't have to, and I ain't got nothing to give you. And I try to make sure that you get your next one, your episode 3, your podcast 3, next week. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can. I am at @ccoleiii. That's at @ccoleiii. And if somebody knows how to get, like, the sponsors, like, I'll do the spot for Hulu. I got Hulu Plus. I'm a Hulu Plus fiend. Hulu, hit me up. Let me get that coffee money, man. I need to. Let me get that duty sponsorship so I can go to Brazil. Like Dollar Shave Club. I got you. I need like my link. I need to say like, I need to be able to get on here and take a little commercial and say, hey, this is Charles. You need to go to dollarshaveclub.com/blah, blah, blah. I need that cake, man. What's up? So if you know how to do that, let me know. All right, I'm leaving for real this time. Peace out.